on the Colorado State Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, a day late here on the podcast, but we are back in the studio for another edition of the Colorado State Insider podcast. Welcome, everybody. Brian Roth, your host. Great to have you with us. Yeah, some basketball games dictated that we kind of hit the pause button on the podcast for a day. Didn't want to record a podcast on Wednesday. Talk about a bunch of Colorado State hoops and then have the game on Wednesday night against Little Rock. And then all of a sudden that podcast shelf life goes down by a few days. So we waited a couple of days and here we are on Thursday morning, December the 2nd, back in the podcast studios. And thanks for joining us. Great to have you with us. All right. Well, let's get right to it. We're going to talk all things Colorado State on the program here. Obviously, a lot of focus to Colorado State basketball. The men's basketball team knocked off Little Rock last night in decisive fashion. The Rams now 8-0 in the season, sets up a monster game against St. Mary's on Saturday at Moby Arena. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. Here's some postgame comments from both Nico Medved and Kendall Moore, the senior guard for Colorado State, as they sat down with myself and Adam Nygon following the game on Wednesday night. Also touch on some Colorado State women's basketball. They're sitting at 5-1 on the season. They are on the road in Tempe, the Arizona State Invitational coming up this weekend. And of course, we'll hear some Colorado State football talk as well. And boy, not a great way to close out the season for CSU. They lose to Nevada on Saturday night, 52-10, and Colorado State wraps up their football season 3-9, and they drop their final six games of the year. But let's open up our podcast here this week and touch on volleyball just a little bit. And well, Tom Hilbert and the Colorado State Rams, they entered last week's Mountain West Conference Championships as the number one overall seed. They got a bye to the semifinals, but unfortunately, the Rams would fall to the host school UNLV in the semifinals in five sets, and that effectively ended their run to a Mountain West Conference championship and to the NCAA tournament. Of course, the Mountain West Conference is a one-bid league here this season, and with the institution of the tournament once again, remember the Mountain West Volleyball postseason tournament has not existed for many, many years. It's back, and well, Colorado State knew they would have to win the Mountain West Conference tournament if they wanted to go dancing to the NCAA, and unfortunately, the Rams would fall to UNLV in the semifinals in five sets. Rams led 2-1, but dropped the fourth set and the fifth set, and well, the Rams were behind the eight ball a little bit going into the tournament as well as their best offensive player, and really, you can make the argument the best offensive player in the entire Mountain West Conference, Alexa Rumeliotis, was not available for the Rams. COVID protocols and an all-conference player not on your back line. And well, Colorado State closes out the season 19-10, but season is not over. They were selected to play in the National Invitational Volleyball Championship, the NIVC. And that starts tonight here at Moby Arena, continues into tomorrow night. The fourth edition of the NIVC since its reboot, and Triple Crown Sports, of course, right here in Fort Collins. They are the ones that put on the tournament. The event previously ran back in the early 90s, but they rebooted it, the fourth edition of the National Invitational Volleyball Championships, and 31 teams in the field, including Colorado State. So Tom Hilbert and the Colorado State Rams going to open up their quest for a NIVC championship tonight. They get Houston Baptist at Moby Arena. 7:30 is the match time there. The other match will be Tulsa and UTEP prior to the Rams game, and the winners will meet on Friday night to get all matches at Moby Arena. So best of luck to Tom Hilbert and the Colorado State women's volleyball team. All right, well, let's talk some Colorado State hoops. And on the CSU women's basketball team, they're off to a 5-1 start, and they're coming off their first loss of the season as they welcomed in number 10 Louisville this past Sunday to Moby Arena. Louisville opened up the season as the sixth-ranked team in the nation. And, well, despite going down 24-10 in the first period, CSU played Louisville very tough. Rams lose 71-56 in that contest, and first loss of the season for CSU. Rams shot just 39% in the contest and got out-rebounded 39-22. But Monday night at the Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show, we had a chance to sit down with head coach Ryan Williams and we'll get his thoughts on his basketball team and their ability to go up and match up with one of the top teams in the entire nation.
We went in with a plan, right? You always create a plan to win the game. And, you know, we had to do some things really, really well. Your margin for error is really small when you're playing a team that good. But we felt we could do some things and, you know, be competitive. The thing that probably – and we did that for three quarters, right? It was a – you take the last three quarters, Louisville beats us by three – or beats us by one. But it was that first quarter where we just to win a game like that, you've got to play with an edge. You've got to be really competitive, which our kids were. But you've also got to play with that composure. And I thought we just were just maybe a little too hyped, what have you. But we were just a little too just too many mistakes. Let's face it. And uncharacteristic mistakes. Like I told the kids, I don't care if the L.A. Sparks walked in here, you know, or the Lakers, or you wouldn't make those mistakes. You just, I don't care how athletic, it was kind of some simple stuff that allowed them to get going, get some easy baskets at the rim. We fouled early, some silly turnovers that if we're playing with the poise that we should be playing with, that's not a 24-point quarter for them. You know, we really felt we could keep their quarters down to, you know, 14 to 16, you know, is where we had them. And the next best quarter for them after that was 16 points, right, I think. Right. So it was just – those are all good learning things. We'll have a really good film session tomorrow. But, you know, it was a lot of good things happened in that basketball game. We competed at a different level. But they come at you now. I mean, you know, their A to B is a lot quicker than our A to B. Their start-stop, how they get into a shot, the physicality. I think once we kind of got – used to that and you know, kind of woken up a little bit, I thought our kids were outstanding. But Louisville's very, very good. They're very disruptive. It was hard to run good offense. You know, they just had us out of whack most of the night, but we still found a way to not turn it over most of that game and get some quality shots up. We just needed more shots, and they weren't going to allow us to do that. But I was pleased with the effort. A good learning experience this early in the season. We'll grow from this game.
All right, that's CSU women's basketball coach Ryan Williams, the all-time winningest coach in program history. We mentioned the Rams sitting at 5-1 now on the season, and they're going to head out onto the road. They'll be in the Arizona State Classic coming up here this weekend. Rams will take on Harvard coming up on Saturday at 3 p.m. in the afternoon from Tempe. Then on Sunday, also at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, they'll take on UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio. Harvard sitting at 2-4, UTSA at 1-4 on the season. So an opportunity for Ryan Williams and his ball club to pick up a couple of more wins. Again, they're off to a fantastic start, led by point guard McKenna Hofschild. Sydney Meck has played well. Carly Murphy. Callie Clark has played well. Upe Otausu, the transfer from Butler. This is a fun basketball team to watch, and I know the crowds at Moby are going to be entertained all season long. All right, how about the Colorado State men's basketball team? Boy, do they keep on rolling. CSU last night at Moby Arena, well, another opponent goes down. Colorado State knocks off Little Rock in decisive fashion. Rams beat the Trojans. Final score 86-55, a game really that was never in doubt. Rams held Little Rock to a scoreless stretch of over 7 minutes in the game. In that span, CSU went on an 18-0 run, and CSU really never looked back. Rams were up by 23 at the intermission. They would cruise in the second half in one of the most complete performances of the season. And how about Isaiah Stevens for Colorado State? Last night, Stevens, 12 points, 12 assists. The 12 assists tied a single-game school record, but he had zero turnovers. And Stevens now, through 8 games here this season, 59 assists compared to just 10 turnovers. He's top 10 in the nation in assist-to-turnover ratio, and it might even be higher than that now after last night's 12 assists, 0 turnover performance. But 59-10 assist-turnover ratio in the season. But if you just chop the season in half and look at the last 4 games for Isaiah Stevens against Creighton and Northeastern, both, of course, in the Paradise Jam, Northern Colorado and Little Rock each this last week at Moby Arena. Isaiah Stevens has 37 assists compared to just 2 turnovers. 37-2 assist turnover ratio. I mean, CSU is such a different team when he's in the contest. He slows everything down for this Ram basketball team. He's at the controls. He's the floor general, and he is off to a fabulous start. Stevens averaging 15 points per contest, 7 assists per game. Again, the double-double last night, his second double-double of the season for Colorado State. Also had one against Creighton as well. So Isaiah Stevens has been an absolute monster for Colorado State. Again, the Rams get the easy win last night against the Trojans of Little Rock, and they did it with depth once again. Colorado State, every single rotation player that played last night, and I say rotation player because, well, at the end of the game, Colorado State emptied their bench. But CSU went 10 deep in the game last night against Little Rock, and really they've been going 10 deep all season long, but of the 10 guys that played in that rotation for CSU, well, everybody scored at least 4 points. Everybody played at least 13 minutes. Everybody contributed in some way or another. I mean, you talk about Chandler Jacobs. He only had the 4 points in the game, but terrific once again on the defensive end for CSU. Isaiah Rivera came in, got a steal on an early 3. Jalen Lake, the freshman, continues to prove that he is a big-time player and is going to be a major contributor as a freshman and in his first year of Division I basketball. Obviously, John Tanjay's been good. James Moore's looked fabulous last night. And then you have, of course, Adam Thiswood and Kendall Moore, two guys that have been in the starting lineup since they've arrived at Colorado State, and two guys who are taking on a bit of a different role this year. Both those guys averaged around 10 points per game last season. Neither one of them is being asked to score at the clip they did last season. In fact, entering the game last night against Little Rock, Kendall Moore, after averaging nearly 11 points per game last year, averaging 3.5 this year. Adam Thiswood, after averaging 9 points a game last year, averaging just 3 points this year. But with the new roles, they certainly have accepted those and are excelling in those roles. As Colorado State, they have been a lot of fun to watch this year. So deep, and man, that's going to help them, no question, as we get into Mountain West Conference play. Speaking of Kendall Moore, he had 11 points last night in 19 minutes for CSU and 5 of 8 from the floor, pulled down 4 rebounds, and well, we sat down with Kendall following the victory over Little Rock on Wednesday night. Kendall, congratulations. And
appreciate it.
Talk a little bit about the way this team started tonight defensively, because you guys have been good defensively here this year, but, man, you came out and just started turning this Little Rock team over and over.
So this week we basically just preach urgency. Like, past couple of games we've been starting off slow a little bit, and now it's to the point where we're only going to play better teams each and every week. So it's like, coach, you say – emphasize just urgency on defense and offense, but especially on defense, just pick the ball up, ball pressure, and just try to make them play fast how teams try to make us play fast.
You know, you have got off to a start here this season where you turn your ankle in the first game of the season. I know that had to be frustrating, but you were counting on to score so much over the last couple of years. This year, with more depth, your scoring numbers are down. Talk about the adjustment that you're making with this new team. And the fact is, look, this team doesn't need anybody to be the guy at each given night, because anybody can step up and do it.
Yes, sir. You basically just hit it on the money. Like, it's a next man up mentality. Like, if one person not scoring today, we got multiple people that can fill in them roles. And like we talked about at the beginning of the year, everybody embraces their role and know their roles. And I know mine is just bring energy offensively and defensively and just come out here and try to lead and do what I need to do for us to come out victorious.
Well, look, you guys are 8-0 at this point, and now you get a resume-building type opportunity with St. Mary's coming in. How does it feel to be 8-0 right now?
It feels great. It feels good for sure, but we're not done yet. Like you said, we got a good team coming in here on Saturday, and we've been waiting on them. We played them last year, and it didn't go our way. So this year, it's going to go our way. We definitely going to come out and do what we need to do to come out victorious on Saturday and just play a great game.
Well, how about you personally, man? How are you feeling? How's the health, and how are you doing mentally?
Everything is good. My ankle's getting back right in the treatment, training room with Tony. And mentally, I'm doing good. You feel me? That's one thing that Coach preached about in the offseason, just making sure mental health is, like, a big priority. Right. It's like, if you mentally unstable, then You feel me? You don't know when you just going to, like, go off or, like, on the court can't really, like, not really depend on you, but it's just not going to work if you're mentally unstable. So that's one thing we try to, like, engage in on the court and off the court. So I'm doing good.
Good, man.
Kendall Moore joining us here on the postgame show. Along those lines, before we let you go, you became a new father last January?
Yeah,
was
January 5th.
The January 5th. What has it been like? It's almost a year in now. Mm-hmm. What's fatherhood been like for you, and how has that helped you grow as a man?
It's a little different for me because they not up here 24/7, right. But they come like once a month up here and stay for a week. But I feel like it done changed me for the better, like as a man. Like it just gave me more priority, so now I got to look at life differently and things like that. And I'm just happy for her. I'm just happy I had her, man. Obviously, I wish I could have waited a little longer, but I'm glad she's here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, great start to the season, and hopefully Moby Arena's packed coming up on Saturday, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, there's Kendall Moore, the 5'10" senior out of Danville, Illinois. Again, had a baby girl early in 2021, and boy, a bright, bright young man. Great to sit down with Kendall Moore. All right, how about the thoughts from the head basketball coach at Colorado State, Nico Medved, also sat down with myself and Adam Nygon following last night's victory over the Trojans of Little Rock. Well, Nico, congratulations on the win here tonight. And really thought defense for you guys came out and set the tone for this one. You forced 14 first-half turnovers and held them to just 20 points in the opening 20 minutes.
Yeah, I thought especially like those first, 16 minutes of the half were phenomenal. I thought our hands were active. We were helping each other. We took them out of what they wanted to do, and that's really what we wanted to see. And I thought it was great, too. I thought even early in the game, we were moving the ball really well and getting good looks, but they weren't going in. But that didn't affect, the way we played on that end of the floor. And that was great to see. And I thought our bench, too, like they have been, came in and even picked up the energy to another level. And I think you're – hopefully for us, starting to build that identity with the bench and those guys coming in and ramping up the defensive pressure, I think has been great for us.
Yeah, I mean, how fun is that as a head coach where you're not relying on a core group of three or four guys to play 33, 34, 35 minutes? I mean, nobody for you played over 30 minutes here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. I mean, like you said, a lot of guys got minutes and everybody, found a way to contribute. And, we got guys that are going to have to ride heavy minutes at times, there's not many games I'm going to take Isaiah Stevens out, with the level he's playing at. But it was great here tonight to be able to do that and get a lot of guys more action and continue to build our depth and the confidence that we have in it.
Well, talking about Isaiah, we've got to hit on the fact that 24 assists, 12 of them tonight are Isaiah Stevens. That ties a career high in a school record for 12 assists. Had you known that, would you maybe have left him out there for another minute or two?
I don't know. Something tells me he might be one that could break it at some point, But he's playing at such an elite level. I mean, he's playing that position about as well as you can play it right now. And I thought his defense was phenomenal, too. And so I haven't looked at the last few games, but, I mean, his assist-to-turnover ratio was among the best in the country. And I can't imagine after tonight that he's right there. And so if there's somebody doing it better than him, I'd love to see who that is.
Brian's got a pretty crazy stat.
Yeah, I think the last four games, 38 assists, 2 turnovers.
38-2
because he was 12-0.
Yeah,
here today.
That's just that's next level stuff, and so that's just phenomenal. And again, he's playing the position about as well as he can play it, and it's been fun to watch.
Well, another stat that kind of jumps off at me in a game like tonight: nobody attempted more than 8 shots tonight. What does that do for you as a team when you guys are moving around as well as you are?
That's how we want to play. I mean, I think that's when the game is fun. And I thought tonight we had 24 assists, like you said, and really it could have even been higher. I thought we missed a lot of great looks, but even when we were, the guys kept trusting it and moving it and making the extra pass. And, that's what really good offensive teams do. And I think that's something these guys really buy into.
Well, you get the win here tonight. You take care of business against a team I know you expect to take care of business against. Now the schedule gets a lot tougher on Saturday. St. Mary's coming in, and I know you and I have spoken a little bit about them here this week, but they return everybody. They've been really good this year, 7-1 so far, and they're
really good defensively, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, this team is as tough and as good as anybody will play all year. You know, they had Wisconsin on the ropes to win the Maui Classic. You know, that game went right down to the last few possessions. And they're tough. They do what they do. I think that I saw yesterday they were leading the country in not giving up three-point attempts and not giving up assisted field goals. I mean, they're just so sound on that end, and they're big and they're physical. And obviously, you know, last year when we played them, it was like the Twilight Zone out there in Moraga, our offensive performance. And so our guys know what's at stake, and it's a huge game, but it's the next game. You know, right. Win or lose, that game, you got to move on. And I think we'll have a great crowd. I have no doubt our guys are going to be ready to get after those guys, and what a great opportunity for us. And that's what you want, to have these kind of games on your schedule and have these kind of game on a Saturday afternoon here in Moby. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, but strange to say, and we've talked about it, you only have two Saturday games left. This is your only Saturday afternoon game
yeah.
left.
Let's make it count, Ram fans.
Make it count. You bet. Nico, congrats.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Nico Medved following the 86-55 win over the Trojans of Little Rock last night at Moby Arena. So that sets up an absolutely massive game on Saturday afternoon at Moby Arena. St. Mary's coming into town. St. Mary's, of course, out of the West Coast Conference, and they have turned themselves into a basketball power that's always fighting for the postseason, always seemingly in the NCAA tournament. St. Mary's, as we record this podcast right now, on Thursday, December 2nd in the AM, they sit at 7-1 on the season, coming off a victory against UC Riverside on Monday night. But they are on the road at the Spectrum in Logan, Utah tonight against a fellow Mountain West Conference team in Utah State. Game tips at 6 o'clock here on Thursday evening on CBS College Sports Network. So you have a chance. You can scout the next opponent here this evening. But St. Mary's entering the game tonight against Utah State. 7-1 of the season. They have been impressive. They got wins over Notre Dame and Oregon in that Maui Invitational. Lost to Wisconsin in the championship of that contest. Of course, Wisconsin, a solid Big Ten team. And that's a St. Mary's ball club that returns everybody off last year's ball club. And of course, these two teams, CSU and St. Mary's, met up last year in Moraga. St. Mary's got it was a strange game. They got the 53-33 win over CSU, but St. Mary's had played six games and were into the kind of the meat of their season in a strange COVID season. Meanwhile, if you remember, CSU last year had a month pause right at the start of the season due to COVID issues within their program. Rams finally got on the court in December. They played Northern Arizona, then went on to the road almost immediately to take on St. Mary's. And it's a Colorado State team that looked like a ball club that was just getting out of the gates against the St. Mary's team that had already had many games under their belt, and the Rams were held to 33 points. I mean, it was a disaster. I think you heard Nico Medved say it. I mean, it was almost like the Rams were in the Twilight Zone in that game in Moraga, California. I mean, nothing went right for CSU, but of course the Rams bounced back and had a terrific season last year. Should be a fun one on Saturday afternoon, and again, it is a 2 p.m. tip-off. We talked about this a little bit on our broadcast last night against Little Rock, but a 2 p.m. tip-off and stadium is going to have the TV coverage. Of course, no TV with stadium. It's a stream, but that game was originally picked up by FS1, and they wanted to put it at 9 p.m. on Saturday night. Colorado State, and really Nico Medved, stepped in and said, no, we're not going to play at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's a December game. You're trying to build momentum within the community, within Northern Colorado, within the state of Colorado. The crowds at Moby have been very good so far this year. And if you play that game at 9 o'clock, yeah, you'll get some of that TV exposure. But at the end of the day, you're going to see your crowds, I don't know what, chopped by 40, maybe even 50% from playing that game at 2 in the afternoon, which the Rams are now, compared to playing it at 9 p.m. on Saturday night. I mean, you're probably going to lose 40 to 50% of your crowd. I mean, who's going to come out to Moby Arena? If you have any kids or you want to bring your family, you're not bringing them to a 9 o'clock game. You are bringing them to a 2 p.m. game. And also want to throw this out there. It's a strange scheduling quirk with the Mountain West Conference flexing a lot of games to Friday night here this year, which is the first time they have done that. Colorado State, as you look forward, in Mountain West Conference play, they have one home Saturday game. Just one, and it comes on the regular season finale on March the 5th against Boise State at 6:30 p.m. Every other Saturday game that the Rams will play in Mountain West Conference will be on the road. And CSU has many games that got flexed from Saturday to Friday at home. So CSU with just two Saturday games left, and this will be the last Saturday afternoon game that Colorado State has. Again, coming up on Saturday against St. Mary's, 2 p.m. We'll be on the air at 1:30 with the pregame show. But, man, I'm telling you, get out to Moby Arena. Come watch this basketball team. 8-0 in the season. They're so easy to like, and it's been a great home court advantage so far. And this is a massive opportunity for this Ram basketball team to get a resume win as they look forward to the NCAA tournament in March. This would be big if CSU could pick up this win against St. Mary's. So get out to Moby Arena on Saturday afternoon. Tell your friends, neighbors, family, let's pack Moby on Saturday. All right, finally, we're going to wrap up the podcast, a little bit of college football talk, and probably not going to spend too much time on football. The season is over, and obviously the way that it ended was well, less than palatable, I know, for Ram fans. CSU falls to Nevada on Saturday night, 52-10, and they close out the season 3-9 on the season. Rams drop their final six games of the year, and well, Saturday night just, for whatever reason, was not very good. In fact, you could classify it as a disaster. I mean, the Rams go into that game as a 5-point underdog, and within the first 4.5 minutes, CSU trailed 14-0. Nevada scored on their first two drives. By the time you got to halftime, it was 31-0. CSU was able to get a touchdown from Trey McBride on a fake punt for their only offensive touchdown of the game. But when all was said and done, 52-10 was the final score, and it caps off a season that started out poorly and then showed some promise, didn't it? I mean, you know, you think about this season. After the first two games, you had the Denver Post floating the idea of an 0-12 season, which was ridiculous at the time. I mean, just an ignorant clickbait article that the Denver Post put out early in the season. They weren't going to go 0-12. But then they come back with a win at Toledo, 22-6, dominant defense performance, played exceptionally well at Iowa, team playing in the Big Ten Championship. Thumped San Jose State on homecoming on October 9th, hammered New Mexico and Albuquerque on October 16th, and it's a Colorado State team that was sitting at 3-3 in the season. They were 2-0 in Mountain West Conference play. All of a sudden, you started looking at the schedule and saying, well, hey, listen, this is a team that might be able to compete in the Mountain Division and possibly play for a Mountain West Conference championship. Then they had a mistake-filled game at Utah State on Friday, October 22nd, and even with the mistakes the Rams made, they were driving in that game, and then, of course, obviously, the late-game confusion against Utah State. Rams trying to get the field goal unit on, time running down, and eventually got off a 42-yard field goal that missed wide left with 1 second to go. That would have gotten them the win. They would fall 26-24. Then you have the fantastic first half against Boise State where you're dominant in that game, but you settle for field goals. Boise ends up coming back in the second half. You lose that. Then the disaster at Wyoming. Couldn't stop Air Force. Hawaii was Hawaii. And then Nevada, 52-10 to close out the season. A lot of work to do for this Colorado State football program. But what we did see on Saturday night is the career of two of the all-time best come to an end at CSU. Of course, talking about Trey McBride and Ryan Stonehouse. Stonehouse closes out his career as the all-time NCAA leader in career punting average. Career average of 47.8 yards per punt. Stonehouse knew he had a chance at that record coming into the season, and man, he was never even close to losing that. Ryan averaged nearly 51 yards per punt here this season, a new school record at CSU. He broke the previous school record held by, yeah, you guessed it, Ryan Stonehouse. And in his career, 106 career 50-yard punts. So again, Ryan Stonehouse, the career NCAA leader in punting average, 47.8. And then, well, what can you say about Trey McBride? I mean, the best tight end ever to play at Colorado State. I think it's safe to say that. I know the Rams have had some really good ones throughout the course of the program's history, but McBride was flat-out dominant here this year. 90 catches for Trey McBride this season, 1,121 receiving yards. That's fifth most all-time in FBS history for a tight end. He closes out his career with 164 career grabs, 2,100 receiving yards, and he is with both of those numbers in the top 10 for receivers, not just tight ends, receivers in Colorado State football program history. And of course, he is a finalist for the John Mackey Award. It's presented to the nation's top tight end. It'll be presented on Thursday night, a week from today. And well, he's the odds-on favorite to win that. I would think so. I mean, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens. But, boy, Trey McBride, if he could win the John Mackey Award next week, it would make him just the second major award winner in Colorado State football history. Of course, Greg Myers won the Jim Thorpe Award back in 1994 as the nation's top defensive back. Of course, Myers, one of the great all-time Rams. So congratulations to the seniors for a career, and congratulations to Ryan Stonehouse and Trey McBride, two of the best ever to do it for the Colorado State Rams. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast here this week. A day late and hopefully not a dollar short, but Ram fans, get out to Moby Arena on Saturday afternoon. Imperative to pack that place. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Rams against the Gales of St. Mary's, but boy, Moby should be rocking again. 2 p.m. the tip-off on Saturday afternoon. All right, thank you to everybody that helped out with the podcast. We heard from women's basketball coach Ryan Williams and Colorado State basketball coach Nico Medved, along with senior Kendall Moore. For everybody, Ryan Roth saying so long. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Colorado State Insider Podcast.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Colorado State Sports Network.